Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking of starting to introduce myself, and within me, I'm like, no. By this time, these people should know me, you know. Why should I be introducing myself? No. I'm just one of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking around. I always try to look around. Sunday, though I was outside there dozing a little bit, I never see Pastor Angel was not. I didn't see Pastor Angel. He wasn't in church. And when let them know. Him alone know. And when I saw him there, I'm like, oh, here he is. At least I can show my teeth today, you know. And I looked there. There is Big Ben. Baby, man, we are blessed to have you in church today. We really missed you. Pastor Angel, we really missed you, no? We really missed you. He's my friend, you know. Only me calls him Angel, okay? If you do it, I know it may look small, you'll get you, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like the pastor said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know what David says? He says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Make music unto your name, O Most High. Proclaim your love in the morning, and your faithfulness at night is my desire. You know, when you wake up in the morning because he's given you that life, just thank him. Amen. Know that he loves you. And when it's at night, you count your blessings and see what the Lord has done for you. That should be a desire for each and every Christian. Hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord this morning. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory, Lord. It's so dear to your name. We thank you that, Lord, you've counted us among the living today. And Lord, we praise you today because only the dead do not praise the Lord. We thank you for what you are about to do. We thank you for all that you have done today. We give you the praise, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, this morning I stand before your people, people you found to be worth dying for. And I pray today that may Julius decrease, Lord, and Jesus increase. I pray, let no flesh glory in your presence today. Thee alone be lifted. Thee alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, let every saint say amen this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of the beginnings today. Genesis chapter 2. Now what I want to do here, I hope you understand what I say. I just want to kill the rabbit before we go into the message. Amen. You know, it's good to kill the rabbit. Hey, where I come from, do you know we eat bunnies? I mean, we eat bunnies, rabbits. So, you know, I know how to kill rabbits. And I will try to do this morning. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. While we go there, I just want to say, good morning, Pastor Karanja. Hallelujah. Yeah, people thought I wasn't listening to your message. I tell you the truth, I can explain it to them better than they. Because I was outside there, I mean, I'm like, I'm not going to be inside because I don't want to doze and disturb the man of God. That's just how much I respect when the servant of the Lord is preaching. I want to give them all my attention and show them that I want to get more from you. I don't want to discourage them. Amen. You know, I'm saying this because I read in Jeremiah, when God called Jeremiah, you know the first thing he said, where I'm sending you, I don't want for you to be afraid of their faces. It's not my word, it's there. Don't be afraid of their faces. And to tell you the truth, at times it's so timid, you know, to stand before some people, just the way they're looking at you, you know. Some of them, I mean, will be there and show you as if they are not interested in what you are saying. And others will be there just trying to scare you, man. Don't cut me, man. Don't do it to me, man. But look, God said, don't fear their faces. So I don't care which face you show me today. I'm not going to be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of the beginnings, Genesis chapter 2. Like I said, I'll kill the rabbit and then we'll go into the message. Hallelujah. It says, this is the story of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven, before any plant of the field was in the earth, listen, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living thing. I just want for you to catch something there. You know, when I look at church like this, I look at church like the Garden of Eden, for your own information. When I look at church, you know, you are there, you know, all these flowers around, look, some are decked up this morning in green, others in red like me, you know. Pastor in that black with stripes, you know, it's like flowers. Flowers in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Because if you read going down, you discover that the Bible says that this garden was beautiful. I mean, God has just made it beautiful because it has beautiful flowers. Look at you today. We may not look the same, you know. There are people in here who are bigger than me, others are taller than me, and, you know, efter than me, you know. But look, you are all beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. When he looks at you, he sees himself. You know, that's what the Bible says here. He says, when he created you out of dust, you know what he did? He breathed his life in you. Through his nostril, he breathed life in you. You know, there is a part of God in your life. My Lord Jesus. When you look at it, don't just look at yourself as if you just fell from mass. No, 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 no. There is a part of God in you. In fact, for your own information, you know what? If I can tell you how much important you are, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he gave his one and begotten Son, who came and died for you and me, that we may have life, you know, eternal life. Do you know when he looks at you, he sees something he has created which is worthy dying for. You're the only one. God never died for an animal. He died for you. And you know why he died for you? Because he had put part of himself in you. My Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Looking at this garden, I'm like, Look what the Bible says. When God had planted everything, the herbs and all these beautiful flowers, the Bible says he never caused it to rain on it. And you know the question, he said he never caused it to rain. Read that Bible on it. You know why? The Bible says because he had not created man yet. He had not created man who was supposed to till the land. The man who was supposed to look after this garden. He had not yet created him. After the creation of man, then God caused it to rain. I look at it, look. You look at this church like this and you want for God to begin to rain, the rain of the Spirit upon you. We need people. We need people who can work in the church. We need people who are going to take their place and save him wherever God has called them to save them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You want for God to bless our church? God is saying to this church that I need people. I need more talents here. Look, I'm coming to that this morning. I just wanted to kill this labyrinth and take it off the way. I mean, I see talents here. I see people who can preach way better than I can. I see people here who can sing way better than the people we are singing here. But you know, at times you deny the church of that talent because you don't want to use it. You've decided to be selfish. You've decided to put it in the corner. Some of you come to church, all you enjoy is to warm that chair or pew. You know, God has never called any chair warmer. No, he's called people to worship him and praise him. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Hallelujah. You want for God to bless you? You know what the Bible says? It's more blessed to give than to receive. When you come to church, and I'm going to hit this, come with an attitude of saving. You know what I mean? I'm going there, man, as a blessing. I'm going there because I want for God to use me to touch somebody. I'm going to church. I know, I need my own blessings, but God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going there as a gift of the Almighty God, so that somebody who's been longing, somebody who's been asking God for something be ministered to through my life. My Lord Jesus, you know what? Growing up, somebody told me something I'll never forget. They say, you know, at times when you are going through a hard time, listen to me, when you are bearing that so-called burden on your shoulder, you've been asking God to remove that burden, you've asked God to just lift it from you. But why do we forget at times the answer you want could be even in that burden you are carrying? You know, somebody gave an example I'll never forget. You know, even the Bible says we need to learn from the ants, especially we sluggards. You know, he said, you sluggard, learn from the ants because they are more wise at times than you. You know, and he gave an example. Can I tell a story again? Yes. Praise the Lord. He told a story I'll never forget. He's like, look, he was observing the ants, you know. You know when the ants are looking for food, Pastor Angel, what they do? You always look, when they see food, you know what the ants do? It will spot the food. Instead of just taking it, it will go get the whole family of ants. And you know, because it's the one who knows where the food is, he will be leading the way. When they get the food, now what was so funny when he said this, you know, you see these ants coming with white stuff on their mouths, like food they are going to store. Now he said, look at this ant. It's coming, you know. When it reaches somewhere, it found where the crack was, on the ground. And obvious, you know what you do when if you are going, maybe with us who grew up in the villages, you know, we used to get wood. I know, Pastor Angel, we were there one time. Don't look at me like that. We were there where you go to fetch wood in the bush, you know. You coming with your axe and you coming with that burden on your shoulder. Immediately you reach like some river, you know. You'll be like, how am I going to do it? You know, at times what we used to do is just get in the river with that wood until you go. But you know, the ant is wise. Imagine they are coming, and they found this crack. You know what the ant does? It uses that burden it's carrying, put it on the crack, and the ant crosses on that burden. When it reaches on the other side, pick that and start to go. What did he use? The burden he was carrying, he used it to cross over. Wow. My Lord Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? That thing you've been going through at times can propel you to greater heights. If only you have, or you have a good attitude. I'm like, man, I wish I can make friends with ants. You know what I mean? Make friends with them. Walk with me, because I'm going to learn a lot from you. Brother aunt, you know, sister aunt. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just love you people, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's move on now and get to the message. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, we'll start reading from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. You found it? And the Bible reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, I want for you to mark that word bodies, because I'm going to talk about the body of Christ. Amen. It says, I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, or by the grace of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Huh? So you represent this body. And Paul is there talking to the Romans. I beg you, I beseech you. You know, you need to do this. And when you read scriptures like that, at times where we go wrong, you start to look at you, and you even interpret, I know what Paul was saying here, you know. He was saying, I need to put, you know, keep my body clean, avoid those, which is true, avoid those sexual sins, you know what I mean? When I do that, then I can present this body. Of course, the Bible says it's the temple of the Holy Spirit too. You need to avoid all those things. But in this context, I believe Paul was talking about the body of Christ. Amen. And he said, look, I need for you, when you come together, worshiping the Almighty God as the body of Christ, you need to be in unison. You know what I mean? Be in unity. I mean, when you are worshiping, come together in one accord. You know what I mean? Come with the same purpose. Come to church with, like I said, with that attitude of saving. Because he said, if you come in and you present yourself as a body, which is, he said, you know, you become holy. And your service before the Lord will be accepted. Amen. Because we have the same attitude. You know, when we get there, I look at my sister Purity there. I'm like, oh Lord, help me to find out what she's going through. If I can be the one to minister to that need, Lord, let me just do it. And when I'm doing it, my services towards my sister is not that I receive the glory. It's not that I be known. But I want to give you, Lord, that living sacrifice. I want when I do it, Lord, it becomes that perfume. That perfume which will be accepted in your nose. Amen. My Lord Jesus. Come with that attitude. Oh, oh, oh. I can feel it. You know, at times we are in church here, we are struggling, looking at the same people as if they're only people who can do everything. No, 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 no. When God brought you into this family, he brought you for a purpose. And he's placed where you are because you are needed in this family. Somebody, somewhere in this family needs your service. My Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Somebody's life is on the line. Unless you just wake up and say, Lord, use me to save my brother. Use me to save my sister. I'm going to be there for mama. I'm going to be there for papa, you know. I don't want to see them dying. But we have this attitude in the church today. All we want is to receive. I'm going there and be fed spiritually from Pastor Tony. And when you come to church, you know, you come with the attitude, you are there. Pastor is preaching. It's like you're surfing, you know. He's talking about that sister, not me. Oh, preach it, Pastor. You know those people? You know those people, like when you hit them, preach it, Pastor. You know why they are saying that? Maybe because their sister stepped on their toe. And when you preach something which you convict, us, preach it, Pastor. My Lord Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Forgive me, Lord. Preach it, come on. No, 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 no. You ask my wife. We come from a background of a church of noise. But you know, at times I used to get irritated when I'm preaching. Preach it, Pastor. Look at him. At times they would just see me stop like, and then I look at them. Why are you preaching what? And you know that, tell them, come on, tell them, Pastor. I'm not telling them, I'm telling you. Tell them. Why do you want for me to tell them and not tell you? My Lord. Yeah, we got that people. You know, when we were seated there, that pastor was just preaching about her. If only she has gotten that message. No, 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 no. If you feel like your sister stepped on you, to call them by the corner and say, sister, you bruised me. What you did to me just hurt me, you know? Just reconcile there. Amen. You know, I laugh at times, you know. What we go through these Pentecostal churches, we even have phrases to use, you know. Growing up, you know, somebody, I'm coming to that. We are not real at times. You know, there is a lot of hypocrisy going on. If we can only be real and be honest with one another, I mean, the church of God will be for what it is meant to be. Because the Bible says we're supposed to be the pillar of the truth, you know. The church is the pillar of the truth. But you talk about hypocrisy. You're just going to beat me, Pastor Angel. I just love you. This is me. When I get on someone I love, I'll talk about him. And you know what? There is, Brother Angel, a lot of hypocrisy going on. And I'm coming to that. You know, I just want to use some things I borrowed from John Maxwell. Out there, it's not my thing. These are the learned people. We take their books and read them and just, you know, when they are talking to me, and I'm like, I got to share this with friends. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on. Hallelujah. Let's move on. We are verse 3 now, eh? It says, "For I say through the grace given to me, everyone who's among you not to think of what? Himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same." Come on, help me here. We says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have what? The same function." Keep that. Hallelujah. "They do not have what? The same function. And so we being many are one." Now you understand what I said. When he says you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Here, the same chapter, Paul is answering us. He didn't mean your body. He meant the body of Christ. Look what he says here. He says, "So we being member are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with what? Cheerfulness." He's talking about the body here. We can be one member, but remember, we belong to this body. Now, let me go to what John Maxwell said. You know, another problem we have as Christians, you pay attention. Pastor Karanja, you believe me. You know what? We took Christianity as if it's something, you know, out of this world. But you know what I discovered? You cannot separate Christianity from relationships. This is what he's trying to teach us here. Because if we go to chapter 12 again, 1 Corinthians, you hear what when he's talking about the body. You cannot separate Christianity from relationships. That's why, you know, he says when you are there thinking, be careful the way you think of yourself. Don't you dare think as if you are higher than somebody. Don't you dare be and think that you're the only one who's needed in this body. You know what he's saying? He says, that's why when he was giving us these gifts, he did not give us everything. He just gave them to us in proportions. Amen. And he says, you know, when you are called to be a pastor, just do it as a pastor. Don't you dare go and jump in another man's gift and you think you can do both. You minister according to the faith that is given to you by the Almighty, according to the measure of faith that he has awarded you. Go ahead and do it and accept it. Don't you dare look for something else when God has called you to do another thing. Stay in your calling and be proud of where God has put you. My Lord Jesus. Oh, my Lord Jesus. So, where is my brother Sam? He's not here? I love Sam. You know what? I'm talking to the pastor. I'm like, you know, Sam was here giving some announcements. The joy I saw, Brother Angel, on the face of that brother, I'm like, man, he's just in his office. You know what I mean? He's enjoying what he's doing. He's enjoying just standing to give announcements. He was not even preaching. My Lord Jesus, you know, Pastor, you know your job is my friend, I can say. You know, you are the broker of gifts. You know, even an usher there, when you put an usher on the door, please put an usher who at least can show their teeth. Even if they are crooked like me, show them when someone is coming, just do, instead of you put an usher somewhere, people are coming in, it's like they've swallowed, you know, swallowed those rotten peanuts. You know what I mean? They don't want to. People coming in and then don't feel welcome. Do you know? You know where we judge the church? How it is? It's just when you get on the door. My Lord, if I find a nice welcome, you know, they give you an hug there, you know where you are going. And you know the problem we have at the church, because you think if you are an usher, you are less than a pastor. It's not like that. David, the one we talk about today. David, the Bible says, a man whose heart was after God's own heart. He's the one who said, I would rather be an usher in the house of the Lord than being found in that place where they are just jamming and drinking. You know what I mean? I would rather be there just ushering people into the house of the Lord. And I would rather be, and do it with joy, because I'm doing it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm starting now to preach, because I look at the body. It's talking about the body. You look at me today, you see a normal person. You know why you see a normal person? Because when I lift my palm here, look, it's just the way God made it. God put this little pink where he wanted it to be. He put this big thumb where he just wanted it to be, Pastor Karanja. All my fingers are in their right place. Now imagine if I'm missing two here. Would that be normal? No. Everybody will know that, you know, a normal person should have at least five fingers on one hand. You know what I mean? But if they have three, what? They know something is wrong. It's either his finger was cut or he did something stupid. That's why he's missing his fingers. You understand? Now, you know what, Brother Ben? You are in your proper place and stay there. Now, you know, I can talk about it now. You guys, think of if my pink today starts to or decides to just boycott the whole body and say, because I feel where I am, I'm not important. You know what I mean? I'm insignificant. No one even recognizes me because I'm the smallest member of this body. And it starts to say, I want to be where the nose is. I don't want to be here. You look at me, and I'm going to demonstrate this. This pink comes and it's here. Removed from me and it's stuck here. I start to look like you. Pinocchio, you know, whatever you call the name there. When you find me and the pink is on top doing you understand that you not see a normal person. You're going to see an abnormal person. You listen to what I'm saying. Imagine my big toe today. This big toe said, man, I'm tired of just being at the lower part here. This whole body is just being sustained, you know, on me. I feel like today I want to be where the eye is. Just chop, and it comes and be here. With that, hey guys, let me tell you. We come from the background where we used to play football, and we kicked with bare foot. You know what I mean? And you know, if I take off my shoe today, show you my toes. Each one goes that side there. you know what I mean? They are, this big toe better be where it is. Because if I expose it today, if I try to expose my big toe and you see that toenail there, man, you'll be like, is this the handsome guy I usually see? Because my wife is always saying, why don't you remove that toenail? You know what I mean? And I'm like, leave it. You know, that's the way God, made it. He says, no, you need to go maybe even for the pedicure and what. I'm like, me going there? I would rather leave it. I hide it, you know. This is what happens. You know what I mean? You don't want to be in a place where God has put you and you are envying what another person is doing. We'll let you go there. But the way you just look foolish. I mean, you go there, you make this church look ugly, you know, ugly than it has ever been. Because you don't want to stay where God has placed you. Imagine even today, the old age said, because you know I'm the one who controls the body. If I say go there, it goes. But I think this, because the body, you know, don't even appreciate me. I'm going to get myself off from the old body. You tell me today. I'm not just making. I want to paint that crude picture. I want to make it ugly so that you begin to understand. Imagine the head without the body coming towards you. What is the first thing you're going to do when you see that? You just imagine the head is coming crude. Towards your way. What are you going to do? The first thing you say, I've never seen this before. I mean, what am I seeing? This is what they call ghosts today. You'll be on your heel and go there. Because the head is not in its proper, you know, place. The head was made to be what? Where it is. Held to the body by what? The neck. Just as important as is my ear. When I want to hear something, so are my eyes. You know what? And God has placed them at the proper place. But the only thing you gotta do is do your job and do it faithfully. You understand? Do it as unto the Lord. Accept the way God has made you. But at the same time, I want to tell you the truth. Just look, this pink finger here, as smaller as it is, my whole body needs it. That's why if today I injure myself, the whole body is going to get affected. Now, you're talking to the guy here. It happened, my kidneys shut. Guess what? It's not only my kidneys that suffered. My whole body suffered. And I understand why. I was there, pain all over my body. Thank God for God. He's brought me back because he's like, you know, Mr. Kidin, you just be there and function for this whole body. Here I am today even standing before his people. You know what I mean? Because the kidney, although it's been given to me, I was joking the other day. For your own information, I don't even know who gave me the kidney. I don't know today, my brother, if I have a Chinese kidney here. I don't know. All I know is I have a kidney. I don't know if it's an Indian kidney. I'm like, maybe a white kidney. You know what? At times I wonder, I even puzzle myself when I'm talking. I'm like, is it because of the kidney? You know what I mean? Oh, Lord. I just wanted to say this. You know, you're precious in God's sight. Hallelujah. You know, I told somebody, I said, look at yourself. You know, you have a place in God's heart. Only you can fit it. No other person can fit that place. Only you. And God misses you. And God created it so that you can fulfill something which will bring excitement or, you know, happiness to himself. When you are not doing it, he feels it in his heart. He knows that my daughter Purity is not doing what I've called her to do. If you stop doing it, Pastor Karanja, God will know it. And he will feel it in his heart. He will know that you are not doing what he has created you to do. My Lord Jesus. No, it's true, Sister Charity. You know what I mean? He loves you. There is a place you have in God's heart, shaped just the way you look. No other person can fit that place. No other person. And please, should we stop to deprive God why he created us? You know, when I'm praying in the morning, I say, Lord, just do that which you brought me into this world for. Just tell him to do that. Do that which you brought me into this world for. That's what I want to fulfill. I don't care what others would say. Amen. Let me read something first and then we go. You know what Paul was trying to say in the book of Romans? You know, the first thing he said, especially verse 9. What he was trying to tell us is, now this I got from Mr. Maxwell. He says, if you want to make friendship today as a Christian, there are certain things you need to do. You know, the first thing you need to do is avoid hypocrisy. Just be yourself. Be yourself. You know what? Be sincere and genuine. Be you. Amen. Don't try to be another person. Mean whatever you tell somebody. When you say you love somebody, let it come out of your heart. If you know you have something against them, don't you dare even open your mouth and tell them you love them.
Go in the corner, pray, ask God to help you to begin to love your brother before you tell him that you love him. Amen. Because you know, like one time I told Pastor Tony, I said, you know what? When we stand before God's people, the truth, Pastor Karanja, you know what I'm saying? The truth is we do not communicate only words to you. We communicate our spirits to you. There are times I'm saying things, if I'm not serious, you know what? God knows. You can even know that man is lying. Because you are meant like that. You know whether I'm sincere or genuine. You know it. But Paul is saying, you know what? Avoid hypocrisy. Be yourself whenever you are dealing with this body. Be yourself. If you are a finger, be a finger and do the job of a finger. My Lord Jesus. The other thing is just learn to be royal to the colleagues, you know, or colleagues, whatever you say. Learn to be royal to your fellow Christians. You know what the Bible calls us? It says, we are a royal priesthood. That's what we are called. We are a peculiar people. Royal. You know why? We are priests who are supposed to be royal to one another. If I say, brother, Pastor Tony is my friend. That friendship should not be just of words. I must be royal to him. You know what royalty does? When you are royal to someone and they are in need, if you can meet that need, there is no way you're going to withhold. You're going to meet it because you are royal to them. And that's what Paul was teaching. Just be royal to your fellow Christians. You hear that they are there believing. You know what you do? Don't just sit home. Don't just pick the phone and say, oh, brother, I heard you lost what and what. No, 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 no. Just treat that brother as if it was your own funeral. You know what I mean? Go there and cry. Let your brother find a shoulder where they can cry on. You know what I mean? Because you are, next time it may be you, and the Bible says, do unto others that which you would want for them to do unto you. My Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. I'll be fast. Hallelujah. It says, give preference to others. Honor the desires of others above your own. It's very important. Give what? Preference to others. Honor the desires of others than your own. That's what Jesus did to. The Bible says, you know, he says he left everything. Amen. He left everything to come and die for you and me. In fact, he said, if you want to follow me, what do you do, Brother Angel? He says, you deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. You know, in this family, as Christians, there is a need for self-denial. Become selfless, not selfish. Oh, they have to do it to me, you know? If it's me, everybody should just do it. No, no, no. The Bible says at times, deny yourself. You know what I mean? Oh, I know I had something important to do. But because I heard Pastor saying like, he's got something to do, I'm going to leave this. It can stay and suffer. I'll go save him first. And when you do that, listen to me. If it was not the word of God, I wasn't going to promise you. But because it's the word of God, you do that. Then the Bible says, shaken together. Pressed down, running over, shall men give at your bosom. Because you've learned to deny yourself. Amen. Your priorities are God's priorities. As long as my brother is suffering, I'll let this suffer. I'll go minister to my brother. I'm going to give them preference. How many Christians today do that? He says, you be hospitable. I mean, look for ways to meet the needs of others. Look for ways. Amen. Be on the lookout. Pastor Tony, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I can say this because, you know, he's my friend. He tells me something. And there is a lady here, you know. I've never maybe even seen, he never showed. He says, this lady, even when she's not in church, she will still send my dad to church. She's not here, she's not attending the service. But you know, she just made that. I know there are people there who love Mandazi. I'll send Mandazi to them. That's what we're talking about here. Be hospitable. Amen. Look for ways to meet the needs of others. That's what Christianity means. Our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, return good for evil. That's another thing. It's there. You return good for what? For evil. When somebody does you evil, if you do evil, it says vengeance belongs to who? To the Lord. Amen. Somebody told me, said, two evils cannot solve anything. But as a Christian, when you know somebody or your brother does something to you which is not good, do something good to them. In fact, the Bible says you are piling charcoal where? On their head. It's quiet in here. Be open-minded towards others. Seek to connect with anyone you speak to. Open-minded. Amen. I'll go through. Treat everyone with respect. This is very important. This is a compliment to any person. If you respect your friends, they will respect you. Amen. Some people, they say respect is end. It's true, it's end. Hallelujah. He says, do everything possible to keep peace. Choose wisely which hills to die on. Amen. Do everything possible. Now, me, I observe people, you know. Even as I make friends, you know, I want to learn from them because I know I have a lot of shortcomings. At times, you know, especially preachers, we hide behind the pulpit. When you see us, you think we are problems free. We got problems, to tell you the truth. That's why whenever I meet anyone, you know, I want to make friends. And not just making friends because I want to learn something from them. And I'm not only going to make friends with pastors, I'll make friends even with anybody who doesn't even serve does not do pastoral work, because I can learn from anybody. Can I give a testimony maybe in closing here? Some time back, I'll never forget if I've ever enjoyed a new year than that one. Some time back, I think it was was it 2008 or 2009, somewhere there? You know how you make resolutions every year to you want to lose weight like me? Every year, you know, I'm going to lose about 10 pounds, you know, so that I can become, you know, I don't like just to put on size 10. I know, I have girls in the house, you know what I mean? They want to be size 5, you know? But this day, We are sitting there and what are we going to do for New Year? Usually what happens, a day before New Year, we gather together as a family and pray. Just look to the Lord, you know, ask him to help us to pull through the year we're starting. Just like any other Christian do. But this year what we did was, you know what, the Spirit of the Lord just said, you know, even before you think about asking me for what I'm going to do, or for what you want for me to do for you next year, I want for you first to settle things among yourself. Among yourselves, we are sitting there. You know, thy king, the head of the house, I'm there. Perfect. Oh, man. I sit and talk. I was ready to just say, Nathan, you don't do this. You don't do whatever I tell you. You know, I'm your dad. You need to hear from me. Cup on your son. And you say, you go sit there. Now it's your turn, Julius. Come here. You just want to tell this. But the Holy Spirit said, you know, these kids, they have a lot of things to say to you. Let them, allow them to pour their hearts. And we asked them, I looked at my daughter there. Even before she said something, she started to cry. I'm like, can't you say, no, I don't want to say it. Now, you've been with your daughter for a long time. All you see is smiles and everything. You didn't even know that they had something in their hearts. I asked Nathan, you know, nothing, you know. I'm okay, but the truth, he had something in his heart. But thank God for the last bones. She just opened up with one thing. Daddy, you know what? You promised me you were going to buy me what and what, and you did not buy it. You know, that hurts. She's saying that, she begins to cry. I look at my daughter, I became emotional as a lion I seemed to be. That time I was just some rabbit, you know. I couldn't take it. I started to cry. When I started to cry, now they just started. JJ was there, he's like, you know, Dad, you know, I don't like the way you talk to me at times. He's crying, you know what I mean? At times you just become hard on me, you know what? I'm like, hey. And these kids just poured their hearts and there is my wife. Everybody was crying. It was a sobbing night. You know what I mean? We just cried. I was there already, you know, to just talk to my family. I ended up repenting and asking for forgiveness. But tell me, that was to me like the most blessed year. What a way to start. Because I felt like from that time, I just started to respect my family. Even my children, I respect them. And I learn from them. Amen. And you know what? Because we are body of Christ, small body of Christ somewhere. I said, that's what I'm saying to us this morning. Let's learn to respect one another. Don't think you're the only one who has it all. No. There's somebody sitting next to you. They got it also. If only you can give them chance to minister, they will do it and you'll be so surprised. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, here you are. Thank you, Jesus.